My name is Ben Greenfield, and on this episode of the Ben Greenfield Life Podcast,
calcification is just a natural process. It's based on essentially vascular inflammation, endothelial inflammation. And to be honest, what most likely happens is there's micro tears, there's clots. The clots are abraded, then you get endothelial progenitor cells come along and they regrow the endothelial layer on the inside of the artery, and you trap some clot and blood cells inside. And when that cycle keeps happening, you eventually build up a kind of cholesterol-filled kind of pustule. And of course, the calcification is simply the body's natural way of stabilizing that so it won't actually burst. So the calcification is the canary in the coal mine. It shows that you had in the past, maybe still going on, endothelial dysfunction of some form.
Faith, family, fitness, health, performance, nutrition, longevity, ancestral living, biohacking, and a whole lot more. Welcome to the show.
Well, if you're like me, you live a busy life, you don't really have time for many days off. That's why I talk so much about your mitochondria, because they generate about 90% of the energy your body uses, and keeping your mitochondria strong is one of the best ways to keep fatigue at bay. But these little mitochondria, darn things, are expensive to run. They use a huge amount of raw materials, especially when it comes to minerals. The problem is most people, including you and me, probably don't get enough minerals. And without minerals, your mitochondria don't have the cofactors they need to make energy. More than 97% of Americans don't get enough potassium. About 80% are deficient in magnesium. 40% are deficient in calcium. And those are three of the big ones. There's close to a dozen other trace minerals that are important for mitochondrial function, and most of us don't get enough of them, and you definitely can't get them from, say, table salt. It turns out that trying to take all the minerals you need by taking single mineral supplements isn't only hard because you need a ton of pills, but it's not the most effective way to get your minerals. That's why I take liquid, humic, and fulvic complexes. These are full spectrum mineral supplements, which means you get all the essential minerals your body needs in one go without a daily handful of massive amounts of pills or very large capsules or anything else that's hard to swallow. I use Beam mineral supplements because they're almost 100% bioavailable. They come in a liquid form that's easy to drink. It's just two bottles. I keep them in my pantry, throw back a shot a few times a day. They're a great way to refill your mineral stores, especially for those of you out here who are haunting your sauna on a frequent basis, or sweating, or doing hot yoga, or anything else. Keep your mitochondria running strong. So if you want to up your mineral game, give Beam Minerals a try. Go to Beam Minerals, B-E-A-M, minerals.com, and use code BEN at checkout for 20% off your first order. Hey, you want to spice things up in the bedroom and boost your sexual performance and do it naturally without nasty prescription drugs? You got to check out this stuff, Joy Mode. It's a powder. Put it in water, or if you're like me and you're a savage, you can dry powder into your mouth. Contains clinically supported doses of L-citrulline, arginine, yohimbine, and vitamin C. So after taking this stuff called their sexual performance booster, again by Joy Mode, your blood levels of arginine and yohimbine increase, and that directly promotes nitric oxide production, penile tissue relaxation, and increased drive. Well, the antioxidant action of vitamin C protects the nitric oxide from oxidative degradation, which then enhances the blood flow promoting activity of the nitric oxide. They thought of everything. They're super smart over at Joy Mode, and collectively these effects enhance sex drive and blood flow naturally to the penis or to the clitoris. My wife takes it too. It's amazing. You get better orgasms, better blood flow. You can kiss nasty prescription medications goodbye and have natural guilt-free energy for boosting your sexual performance. You can get 20% off your first order from Joy Mode. How? Go to usejoymode.com/greenfield. That's usejoymode.com/greenfield. J-O-Y. Usejoymode.com/greenfield. They'll give you 20% off your first order. Last night, I got my shipment in. That's right. Paleo Valley sent me their fermented meat sticks, which are amazing. They're these beef sticks. I gave a few to some of my friends already, which they love. I actually interviewed Stephen Gundry on my podcast, and he talked about how when you look at a lot of these blue zones, the ones that are the highest ranking in terms of longevity eat meat, but the meat that they eat is actually fermented. And that's exactly what they've done with Paleo Valley. They've actually taken really good grass-fed, grass-finished beef. They've fermented, which naturally introduces gut-friendly probiotics, but more importantly, breaks down a lot of the sugars that would normally cause meat to be harmful, concentrates the vitamins, makes it more digestible, and they have fantastic flavors. They got the original. They've got one that's like a summer sausage. They have a garlic sausage. They have a teriyaki. It's probably my favorite. And you can now get your hands on fermented beef sticks that basically blow that Slim Jim beef jerky out of the water. So check out paleovalley.com/Ben. That's paleovalley.com/Ben to try out these beef sticks and get 15% off your order. Not just beef sticks, fermented beef sticks. All right. I do not know if I've ever done a very comprehensive podcast on all things multivitamins, or as some people say in other countries, multivitamins. I don't know which it is, but either way, I recently came across this guy who's kind of a unicorn. He's actually from Christchurch, New Zealand, and his name is Warren Matthews. The guy is 76 years old, and he is an amazingly imaginative and innovative entrepreneur who started to look into over 100 different ingredients and whittled it down to this multivitamin formulation I've been toying around with that I wanted to get him on to share with you about, not only a multivitamin that I now have, but that my wife has, and that my kids have, and that I've been sharing with some friends as well. So Warren has an amazing story, super inspiring guy. He travels over 250,000 miles around the world running this massive company, you know, each year. And so he's going to share with us a few of his anti-aging and longevity and self-care tactics for how he manages to do what he does with his company, which is called Extend Life, X-T-E-N-D Life, Extend Life. And the show notes are going to be at bengreenfieldlife.com/X-T-E-N-D, bengreenfieldlife.com/extend. As if Warren weren't enough of a force to have on today's show, he is joined by a friend of mine, a guy I've spoken with a few times in the past, known as the Fat Emperor, or at least the guy who runs a Fat Emperor website and podcast. The author of the book, Live Long, Use the Power of Low Carb and Keto for Weight Loss and Great Health. His name is Ivor Cummings. He's a chemical engineer, big career in the medical device industry, and also a real expert when it comes to the intersection of biochemistry and nutrition. He's also done some work with Extend Life, and as you'll hear from his lolling Irish accent, he is not from New Zealand. But you've got a three-way show here between three different countries: America, New Zealand, and Ireland, going to battle on today's podcast. Guys, welcome to the show.
Hello, Ben, and rather a very nice introduction. Thank you very much.
Thanks. And that's the voice of Warren, by the way, for those of you who want to tell the difference, obviously, the New Zealand accent. And and Ivor, say hello.
Yeah, great to be here, Ben. Delighted. And good chat ahead.
Yeah, it is going to be a pretty cool chat. And, you know, I had dinner with a couple of folks from Extend Life at my house a few months ago, and they were telling me about you, Warren, and when they were filling me in on you and the amazing life that you lead and your whole history, I thought, gosh, I should interview this guy. And, you know, later on, I hadn't even tried your multivitamins at that point, which are amazing, by the way. We can talk more about those. But, man, 76 years old. What are your secrets, man? Do share.
Well, I think that probably goes back essentially about 24 years, Ben, in that I was building large ocean-going power catamarans, and through a number of various things, I succeeded in completely wiping myself out, and I ended up getting stuck in Mexico with just the clothes I had on, and I'm sitting in this little place I was renting in Mexico. My wife was back in New Zealand looking after all the kids, and I figured that if I have to start all over again, because I was about sort of 52 at that time, I'm going to have to live an extra 20 years, and there's no point in just living it. I need to be able to be active and, you know, and fit and healthy. And that's what actually got us involved in the supplements. And so we started looking at various products which we could market on the internet, because we had no money, because it was totally – was totally, completely wiped out. So it started off by, I wrote a little book on called Water Secrets Revealed, you know, promoting water distillers.
Wait, what was the name of this book? You said Water Secrets Revealed?
Yes, that's right, because okay. It was rather funny because this was right at the start of the internet, about 1999, 2000. And of course, we had no money, so the logical thing was to try and do it on the internet. So I wrote this little e-book and then started selling it for $9.99. And we got the sales by, and I'm talking about my son and myself, through spam, because that was in the days before spam became a bad thing. In fact, it was rather funny because I sometimes get emails from people correcting spelling in the spam emails. And so we were scraping email addresses off the internet and sending that out. And then what would happen was that I'd get $9.99 for the each download, and then I would refer them through to water distillers, where I did a deal with a company in Leesburg, and then they would drop ship out the water distillers, and then I get a commission on that.
So basically, you were selling an ebook, and then the ebook was a funnel to get people to purchase these water distillers.
That's right. Yeah.
Okay.
And so that sort of, whilst we're doing, looking to try and find a product to sell, you know, which we could sell on the internet. And then we looked at that stage. That was, you may remember Dr. Colgan in California, and he had a good range of products, and we looked at doing a deal with him, but didn't really work out okay. And then we started looking around for other products, and the best one I could find at that time was actually a product called Life Extension Mix, you know, with the Life Extension Foundation in Florida, in Fort Lauderdale.
Oh yeah, I'm very familiar with them. They're a big company, right? The one with the magazine and supplements, and they're a pretty big company. Yeah,
and they're a good company, and they have good products. And the product that they had there was, in fact, which I thought was what we were interested in, was called Life Extension Mix, which is what inspired Total Balance. And
Total Balance is the name of your Extend Life multivitamin. And you're saying it was a Life Extension Foundation formula that kind of inspired this one?
That it is. But in actual fact, I know that you're referring to as a multivitamin. One of the problems which we've had for the last 25 years is what the hell to call it, because it's not really a multivitamin. It is a multivitamin, but the vitamin mineral component of it is only about 1/7. So as you know, with the 7 tablets, if you took the vitamins and minerals, it's in fact it's only about 1/7 of the whole thing. It's the other components which make it unique. But what happened is I looked at the product from the Life Extension Foundation. I thought, well, hey, this is what we could do. Seeing we couldn't do a deal to act as a distributor for them, I thought, well, we can look at maybe getting this made in New Zealand. So I came back to New Zealand and then went to see some people who actually import raw ingredients. And I showed them the formula to see whether, in fact, they could get these various ingredients, and they said, yeah, they could. And I said, well, who could make it? And then they referred me through to a manufacturer in Nelson. So I went through to see this manufacturer in Nelson.
Where's Nelson?
Nelson's at the top of the South Island in New Zealand.
Okay, and, got it. There's a Nelson near me up in British Columbia. It's 4 hours away. It's where I used to go to drink beer when I was underage in college.
Oh, right. Well, sorry, not the same place. So anyway, went up and saw them and I said, look, I want to make something like this. And they said, oh, hey, it's not as simple as that. He said, you need a good formulator. And I said, where do I find one of them? And he said, well, as a matter of fact, there's one visiting Auckland, New Zealand right now. His name was Professor Dr. Munamel Shiraki from Iran. And apparently he was considered to be one of the top bioscientists in the world. So then the problem was, of course, I was completely wiped out. I'd ended up having, as a result of this other venture, I'd lost, had to sell my house, all the investments and everything we had, all gone. And my wife was working five sort of housekeeping jobs to help try to keep feed the kids. And but she had some flybys saved up and was enough for a ticket to fly to Auckland. So I went up and saw this guy, got on really well, you know, with him, and he is a brilliant guy. And anyway, I showed him the formula from Life Extension Mix, and he laughed and he said, "Oh," he says, "I can do a lot better than that." And
I thought he was going to laugh at the price, because like I've done some supplement formulations before, and I don't know how many ingredients you have in here, at least more than 90. And the thing I've run up against is when you're putting this much stuff into a bottle, the cost and the sourcing of the raw ingredients just seems super intimidating.
And you're not wrong about that, Ben. And so the next stage was he agreed to do the formulas, and then we ended up doing a deal ultimately, because I had no money, that you do it on a we set up a royalty deal. And then Munim stayed with us until he retired. He stayed with us about 12 years. And anyway, then the problem was, of course, well, how do we get all the stuff? Because where it was difficult for him, or at least difficult for us, was that the ingredients that he had determined weren't just ordinary ingredients, and he was so pedantic about it, right down to what are the excipients in the particular ingredient. What are the manufacturers using?
The excipients. Hey, just real quick, Ivor, could you explain to people what an excipient is?
I'm not entirely sure. This is deep into nutraceutical technology.
Well, it'd basically be the equivalent in many cases of some type of a filler that allows the machinery used to encapsulate and make the supplement, or the, in this case, the formula in something like a lab or a facility, better able to pass through the machinery. You might see, like, I don't know, what would be an example, Warren, like magnesium. What's the magnesium filler that you'll see often as an excipient? Or do you have any other examples, Warren?
Well, of course, there was an excipient, often in terms of magnesium stearate is often used. Which goes in, but that there's two different types of excipients in the respect that the excipient often can be mixed with the final formula, which to make it easier to do the tableting or the encapsulation. The interesting thing about magnesium stearate is that we discontinued the use of that some years ago, because a lot of people are not comfortable about magnesium stearate. So there's a new ingredient as an excipient, which has come out, called Numag. It's about 10 times more expensive, but it's a fully natural, and it doesn't have any of the potential downsides of the magnesium stearate.
Huh.
But
interesting.
On the actual ingredients, when they make the some of the botanical extracts, they have to put something with it to turn it into a powder, to make it as a flowing powder, and then that can vary a lot. So Munim would look at the even what those excipients were, and then ensure that they were going to be compatible, with each other. In other words, botanicals be compatible with each other. And then he was so specific, and it's a policy which we've followed at the beginning and have always continued. And, for example, let's take grape skin extract. Now, everybody's heard of grape skin extract.
Yeah. Yeah, a lot of times it's used for resveratrol, right?
Yes, well, it's part of that. But the thing is, what a lot of people are not aware of is with the grape skin extract, the grape skin itself on the grape has around about 20 actives, if the analysis is done on it. But because of the way it's generally processed, using ethanol and various other methods, you end up with the finished product. It may have around 6 actives. But that's what most of the ingredients which come out of China for the grape skin extract, that's what they have, around about 6 actives. But we ended up using an extract from some grapes in New Zealand using water extraction. And what we were able to do is found that the when you do the analysis of the grape skin, it's exactly the same as the fresh grapes, the skin off the actual grapes with the whole 20 actives. But it costs five times more than what the Chinese stuff. And this is what led to the situation when it came to the actual manufacturer of all these products, because we had to get all these ingredients which were very specific to minimum specifications, and yeah, they were difficult to source. You know, they came from all around the world. And then the first batch which we did of Total Balance, which was in the year 2000, when we got all together, we used this manufacturer up in Nelson, you know, to do the first batch. And I always remember that because once we produced it and then wanted to start to sell it, it took us a year before it sold the first bottle. And it was wow. I can still remember when the first order came through. Hell, somebody's actually bought it, and I had all this product, because the other challenge which we had, of course, was how we're going to pay for it, because it was about $80,000 worth of ingredients in the first batch. But fortunately, at that stage, a friend of mine had a motorcycle business, and he wanted to sell it, and I managed to sell it for him to an American guy, and the commission on it was exactly $80,000. So that's how we got it started. So there's a lot of complexity in it. And then after we did that first batch, found it was just really difficult getting a manufacturer. And also they didn't do enteric coating. And in order to get the benefit of the product itself, it had to be enteric coated. For example, one of the ingredients in it is L-glutathione. SAMe's another one. Now, in the case of L-glutathione, which is a very, very important antioxidant in the body, it's got to be of a specific type, which is a low molecular weight, and it has to be it has to be released in the upper intestine. If it's released in the stomach, it doesn't do the job at all. So it had to be enteric coated. And the enteric coating was, in fact, enabled any ingredients which are sensitive to stomach acid could be incorporated into the system. And that's what made our product different and superior to the life extension product, because we're able to use ingredients which in otherwise normally couldn't use. But there was nobody in New Zealand that did enteric coating.
Yeah. By the way, you're making me think, because sometimes like I'll dry powder or chew, especially when I've got like a tablet or a powder. And in the case of a tablet, sounds like what you're saying is like, if it has that kind of like slimy, slippery enteric coating, that if you're just popping a tablet and chewing on it, I might be one of the few freaks of nature that actually does that. I could be doing things like degrading the L-glutathione in the stomach acid. And some of these formulations are meant to be swallowed, not chewed, even if you feel like chewing them.
Yep, that's correct, and of course talking about sort of the slimy thing for the tablets. Initially, we used a pharmaceutical enteric coating, which was actually quite slippery, but we discontinued using that because the manufacturers of the enteric coating, which is Colicon, in the US, they came out with a new natural form, which was in fact about, I think we switched to that, it must have been about 12 years ago, but it's not as slippery, unfortunately, but it's fully natural. It's actually it's a vegetable, it's derived from a vegetable, so it's not, and it's clear, whereas the original ones with Total Balance are all our white, slippery white. Now it's a clear sort of setup, so you actually see the whole thing. But
all right, so I have a question for you about the multivitamins, because I mean it's a very interesting story about the creation of the vitamin itself, or the balance formula as you call it, and some of the uphill battles you face with the amount of ingredients, the attention to quality. But beyond that kind of like inside baseball stuff, I actually have some questions about multivitamins people have asked me that I'm just kind of curious about. Like, one is the absorption piece, right? Like, I noticed your formula, it requires, like you mentioned, it takes 7 tablets, 1/7 of which you said is like the multivitamin, the rest is a bunch of other stuff. Like, what's the reasoning behind that? Why couldn't you put it all in, one capsule or fewer number of tablets? Is it just the amount of ingredients require you to create that amount of tablets, or how do you actually get it all to be absorbed? I'm just curious what you think about in a vitamin when it comes to bioavailability and delivery mechanisms.
Okay. Good point, Ben. The thing is, this is nothing to do, is not so much to do with absorption, because if in fact you can bypass the stomach and have it released in the upper intestine, then the absorption as such, or the bioavailability of it, is better. But what's interesting is that we were the first in the world, which is what Professor Munim developed, to incorporate in the product a whole range of different enzymes. Now, the enzymes, not to be confused with digestive enzymes, the logic of these enzymes is that when the tablet passes through from the stomach into the upper intestine, dissolves, but the enzymes help get attached to some of these other ingredients, which help get it through the intestinal wall into the bloodstream.
Oh, so the enzymes are actually breaking it down for you. So when it gets to your intestine, it gets absorbed into the bloodstream.
That's right. That's the logic of it. And that's what makes it quite unique, because it's the tablet's fully intact. Like when each batch, which we do a test on the, we put it in a simulated situation with acid to sort of mimic the stomach acid, and then another one to mimic the alkaline component in the upper intestine. And we have to ensure that it doesn't break down in the stomach and the acid environment, but it does break down quickly in the alkaline. But the thing to remember is that, and we're used to ask, well, look, why can't you do it in, 1 or 2 tablets a day? Because we don't want to take 7 tablets a day.
It's not that many, by the way. You got guys like, I don't know, Brian Johnson and Dave Asprey and all these longevity enthusiasts talking about how they're popping like, sometimes 100, 120 capsules and tablets and supplements per day. I mean, I think I'm probably up around, I would say I probably am up around like 15 to 20 capsules or tablets, like when I get up in the morning.
I counted mine the other day. I take around about 30 a day because in addition to my 7 tablets for the Total Balance, I also have 4 of our QH Ultra, and then there's various other things which we've done which are just added on top of that. Don't necessarily need all the other stuff, but the getting back to the Total Balancing, the need for the 7 tablets is because when it was designed, Munim worked on is that to try and address all the organs and systems in the body, because part of the problem is, which with a lot of people now, they think they can just sort of go in and buy a pill of some sort, whether it be pharmaceutical or natural, to fix whatever ails them. But it doesn't work like that, because you might have a symptom here, but it's manifesting somewhere else in the body. So his whole principle, which we've followed ever since, is to try and address all the organs and systems, because you don't really know. and what, in fact, it needs. And I work on the basis of as you get older, you know, your organs and all your systems, you know, obviously, you know, start getting a little bit tired. And it's also harder to get all the nutrition out of the food that you actually eat. So the objective of Total Balance is to, in fact, try to address, you know, address the brain, you know, the digestive system, you know, the heart, the liver, everything.
Well, if you're like me, you live a busy life. You don't really have time for many days off. That's why I talk so much about your mitochondria, because they generate about 90% of the energy your body uses. And keeping your mitochondria strong, it's one of the best ways to keep fatigue at bay. But these little mitochondria, darn things, are expensive to run. They use a huge amount of raw materials, especially when it comes to minerals. The problem is most people, including you and me, probably don't get enough minerals. And without minerals, your mitochondria don't have the cofactors they need to make energy. More than 97% of Americans don't get enough potassium. About 80% are deficient in magnesium. 40% are deficient in calcium. And those are three of the big ones. There's close to a dozen other trace minerals that are important for mitochondrial function, and most of us don't get enough of them, and you definitely can't get them from, say, table salt. It turns out that trying to take all the minerals you need by taking single mineral supplements isn't only hard because you need a ton of pills, but it's not the most effective way to get your minerals. That's why I take liquid, humic, and fulvic complexes. These are full spectrum mineral supplements, which means you get all the essential minerals your body needs in one go without a daily handful of massive amounts of pills or very large capsules or anything else that's hard to swallow. I use Beam mineral supplements because they're almost 100% bioavailable. They come in a liquid form that's easy to drink. It's just two bottles. I keep them in my pantry, throw back a shot a few times a day. They're a great way to refill your mineral stores, especially for those of you out here who are haunting your sauna on a frequent basis, or sweating, or doing hot yoga, or anything else. Keep your mitochondria running strong. So if you want to up your mineral game, give Beam Minerals a try. Go to Beam Minerals, B-E-A-M, minerals.com, and use code BEN at checkout for 20% off your first order. Hey, you want to spice things up in the bedroom and boost your sexual performance and do it naturally without nasty prescription drugs? You got to check out this stuff, Joy Mode. It's a powder. Put it in water, or if you're like me and you're a savage, you can dry powder into your mouth. Contains clinically supported doses of L-citrulline, arginine, yohimbine, and vitamin C. So after taking this stuff called their Sexual Performance Booster, again, by Joy Mode, your blood levels of arginine and yohimbine increase, and that directly promotes nitric oxide production, penile tissue relaxation, and increased drive. Well, the antioxidant action of vitamin C protects the nitric oxide from oxidative degradation, which then enhances the blood flow promoting activity of the nitric oxide. They thought of everything. They're super smart over at Joy Mode, and collectively these effects enhance sex drive and blood flow naturally to the penis or to the clitoris. My wife takes it too. It's amazing. You get better orgasms, better blood flow. You can kiss nasty prescription medications goodbye and have natural guilt-free energy for boosting your sexual performance. You can get 20% off your first order from Joy Mode. How? Go to usejoymode.com/greenfield. That's usejoymode.com/greenfield. J-O-Y. Usejoymode.com/greenfield. They'll give you 20% off your first order.
I think what you're getting at, by the way, is something people ask me a lot of times, is like, why do I need to take a multivitamin if I could kind of like a la carte supplement with what I know I need, especially based on the fact that a lot of people get blood work these days and they'll see, hey, my vitamin D levels are just fine. So I don't want to take a formula that has vitamin D in it because I don't want to overdose on vitamin D. But it appears I need, say, like magnesium and thyroid and hormone support. So I'm going to take those three, and I don't need to take like red yeast rice extract or CoQ10 or niacin because my lipid panel looks good. Like, how do you actually tackle that? Because I get asked that question a lot. You know, why can't you just like really like laser target certain nutrients or supplements to specific blood work parameters rather than using the shotgun approach? Because the shotgun approach might result in you taking too much or taking something you don't need. You know what I'm saying?
Okay, good point. Now, the thing is, even though, in fact, one, you know, could argue that the Total Balance is a sort of a shotgun approach as such, that all of the levels of all of the components and the ingredients are, in fact, such that you're not going to overdose on anything.
Well, by the way, could I correct you real quick? You're not going to overdose on something unless you're already also taking a bunch of other supplements, right? I think if anybody starts on a multivitamin like this, they should look at their supplements and like wisely evaluate labels to make sure whatever. They're taking a multivitamin that's got 4,000 international units of vitamin D, and then they're popping like some 10K vitamin D K magnesium capsule that they need to back off on certain things if they're going to use this kind of like done for you comprehensive approach, right?
That I totally agree. I just answered this part. And then but you'll see that in the case of Total Balance, that now if we, for example, had 4,000 IUs of vitamin D, certainly agree with that. But you'll see when you look at the vitamin component in particular, that they're very conservative, they're very low levels. Now, for example, we know that in the US you can buy vitamin D with 10,000 IUs, but we've only got a small fraction of the fact. I think might be up to 1,000 IUs. So it's well within margins. And I think that what's really important here is that 6/7 of the actual ingredients are things other than vitamins. It's really only the vitamins primarily that you can potentially overdose on.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, I wanted to ask you actually about a few of the ingredients that might go beyond vitamins. But before I do, and this might be up your alley, Ivor, because I know you've got some history in heart health and cholesterol and lipids, and obviously the name of your show, The Fat Emperor, reflects that. But vitamin K, like a lot of people talk about vitamin K for heart health, and there's different forms that I think are confusing to people. I think MK4 and MK7, like, do you have any opinions on vitamin K, Ivor, or the way that it's combined with certain things?
Actually, I think you know him, Dr. Barry Tan of the Tocotrienols, actually taught me something new about vitamin K very recently, around 6 months ago. So I'll add that at the end. But basically, if K1, which comes generally from the plant world, and it promotes clotting in a good way, usually, unless you're way too high, of course, inadvertently too pro-clotting. But it is important for that process. And then there's the K2. And as you said, MK4 and MK7. Now, this has been a running debate for a long time. So the Japanese, with their natto, and they've got MK7, and there's a lot of evidence towards its benefits. And then MK4 is the more common or garden vitamin K2. And again, there's a lot of evidence. Now, the evidence is primarily associational from epidemiological studies. It's got excellent mechanistic evidence in calcification of the vascular system, and many processes. So really good science. It's a little limited on RCT because, as we know, only big pharma really has the money for the randomized control trial.
Is that randomized clinical trials?
Randomized clinical or randomized control trials. Yeah, the gold standard, which it is. But unfortunately, the cost of them is so enormous now that mainly it's the purvey of big pharma. Unfortunately, that's the way it is. Hmm. So vitamin K or vitamin K doesn't have a huge amount of RCT, but it's got a wealth of great science in the other disciplines. But what Barry Tan taught me was, because we could never answer this question, the K1 actually comes in with a kind of a disc structure in the molecule, and in your body you can convert to MK4. It's actually the same disc structure that's used, but without a tail, without getting into details. So I learned that you can make your MK4 from K1. So there's an argument that you do want adequate K1 as a substrate, for this process. Without getting too complicated, you also need to have a healthy level of GG, geranyl geraniol, which enables that processing into MK4. But then, as I say, MK7 has got a lot of evidence in its support as well. So I think a balance of MK4 and MK7, and anyone who's eating healthy vegetables will generally get enough K1. And it's certainly Weston Price, as you probably well know, he identified this compound X that was leading to health from dairy. And he didn't even know what it was. And it was identified as K2 decades later. And he identified it based on evidence alone. So I think really important one, But many are. And I have a core group of magnesium, DHA, EPA, vitamin D for sure. I get it from the sun. I think it's got a longer half-life and more benefits in some ways than supplements. And, you know, there's a few more key ones. Magnesium, of course. But the problem is, and I think you've described it, different people will have different limitations or inadequacies in different compounds. And it's very hard, even with the lipoprotein advanced analysis and even with, you know, hormonal analysis and other blood tests like the magnesium test does not really reflect your magnesium level. That's where I think the policy of doing somewhat of a shotgun based on great research and putting together everything. And in terms of overdosing, even if you take D3, the lowest level per day that you could ever suggest might be a problem is around 30,000 IUs. And there was even one guy who took a million a day for months by accident.
I know, it's pretty crazy, even though it's fat soluble. Yeah, I was reading an interesting study this morning on vitamin D and those with the risk of or presence of GI cancer benefiting a lot from 4,000 to 10,000 international units a day, which is interesting because I'm actually helping someone I know through a colon cancer issue right now. And so I'm definitely recommending vitamin D to them, but balanced out, like you mentioned, Ivor, with vitamin K and with magnesium as well. And it sounds like, you know, the other thing, this I'll link to the interview that I did with Barry Tan. If folks are listening and they go to bengreenfieldlife.com/extend, X-T-E-N-D, that's where the show notes for today's show are going to be. Barry and I talked about this idea of mixing different forms of vitamin E. I think he called them tocotrienols and tocopherols, along with this geraniol. How do you say it again, Ivor? Geraniol?
Oh, geraniol is how I pronounce it.
Yeah, geraniol. So in terms of that mix of vitamin E's combined with the vitamin K's, what's the actual approach in the Extend Life multivitamin? I don't know if you know, Ivor, if this is a question that's better for Warren.
Well, probably, but just the tocotrienol, which tends to be the really valuable vitamin E from all of Dr. Tan's research. And it was very convincing, and he sent me around 20 papers on it. Very convincing case that the tocotrienol is the real beneficial side of vitamin E. And there was some evidence as well, a little concerning, that the tocopherol, or the other form of vitamin D, E, which is in most supplements, may even have a negative effect if taken in significant quantity. So it's kind of a double hitter. But I think you have the tocotrienol, Warren, in the total balance.
Yeah, because as a result of the discussions which we had with Barry, we actually upped the tocotrienols, and I think we did away with the tocopherols as a result of that. And in the case of the GG, it wasn't really practical to incorporate that into the total balance, which is why we did that other new product just called GG Pure.
Oh, so at Extend Life, you guys sell just that geraniol, which I'm butchering the name of multiple times here, so I apologize, but you're selling that GG separately so someone could take the multivitamin, and if they wanted more of the benefits for, you know, heart health and vascular health from the vitamin K, the vitamin D, the magnesium, they could add in that GG on top of that?
That's right. We've done this with a number of things because there's a limitation of what we can fit in, but the GG, and I just call it GG because I can't pronounce the name, so we did that as a separate supplement. And as a matter of fact, we've also done another one which was actually formulated by Barry, which was a combination of the GG and the ubiquinol, you know, CoQ10 as well. But we have the tocotrien in the total balance.
Well, you know, it's very interesting that this whole discussion about how to blend all these ingredients, and obviously Barry Tan had a great deal to teach me about the tocopherols and tocotrienols and how you shouldn't just look at the label and look for, say, like just vitamin A or just vitamin K, but you have to know the form, which is important. And another one that comes up a lot regarding that, you guys, is folic acid. And I don't know if you've looked into folic acid and the whole debate on that and whether you put methyl tetrahydrofolate versus synthetic folic acid in a multivitamin. My understanding is that the folic acid added to a lot of cereals and multivitamins results in an inflammatory reaction, the buildup of homocysteine. But have you come across that, Warren?
Yeah, I'll answer the first part and then pass over to Ira if you don't mind. We used folic acid for many, many years, and then some years ago we then switched to that natural form that you just mentioned. And with regard to that, we were looking at that, how I tend to look at a lot of the stuff is to look at it at a quite a broad sort of level, but not too much detail. And what I'm interested in is, what is the actual rationale between different forms, and then, as in the case of the folic acid, then throw it over to Ivor, where he will then look at the various studies for it, and he gets down into the nitty gritty and the detail, which I don't. I just like to sort of get a sense about, does it feel right? Does it all come together? And then let's get it validated. And that's what Ivor does. And I think you did that with the folic acid too, didn't you?
Okay. Well, Ivor? before Ivor speaks to folic acid, and perhaps you can toss this in, Ivor, is that how you guys know each other? I mean, does Warren come up with these ideas and then just bounce them off your chemical head and get your feedback after you put on the propeller hat and dig into the research?
Let me actually give you, if you don't mind, I'll give you a little little story as to how I came to meet Ivor.
Okay.
And it goes back about 5 years ago, 4 or 5 years ago. And I've never had any issues at all, sort of health, particularly in the last sort of 25 or in fact ever. But I've never had any sort of chest pain or any pain of any sort. But about 5.5 years ago, I started getting a little bit sort of puffy, when I was, walking or going up hills, and I thought, oh, I haven't been doing enough exercise. I should be doing more what you're doing right now.
You mean like you were huffing air, not like puffy, like your face got puffy.
Getting a little out of breath, yes.
Yeah.
And I thought, I haven't been doing enough exercise. And so I thought, did a little bit more. And then when I did try to do more, it actually got a bit worse. And I thought, well, that, doesn't sort of seem right. And so I did something which I hadn't done for I don't know how many years. I actually went and saw a doctor, which I didn't actually have a doctor in any way. She listened to my heart, and she said, I think you've got aortic stenosis. I said, what the hell is that? And she said, well, maybe a closing up of the aortic valve. And anyway, she was quite concerned about it and booked me in to see a cardiologist. So I went to see a cardiologist, and they did all these tests with the echograms and so on. And anyway, he says, you've got the aortic valve is highly restricted because it's all sort of calcified.
Yeah.
Because this is where it leads on to an interesting story. And he says, the only way you're going to fix that, he said, we'll have to replace the aortic valve. He said, so you'll have to have open heart surgery. And I said, well, look, never mind. I said, I'll tell you, I'll fix it myself. And anyway, he says, well, you better do it quick. He said, because I reckon you'll be dead within a year
By the way, that drives me nuts when doctors say that, because they've even shown some evidence that, like, you will come to believe and sometimes manifest what a doctor tells you. So if they're like, are you going to be dead from cancer by Christmas versus, hey, you're going to be feeling a lot better by Christmas, they can actually, in a way, almost placebo somebody, or at least belief placebo somebody into manifesting a certain condition. It's nuts.
I just couldn't agree with you more. So anyway, I did some research, and I – because all the stuff which I've been working on all the years was all for general health. But one thing which I overlooked was the importance of calcification, in soft tissue. And anyway, I did start doing some research, and I figured that it would it could be reversed, but it would take time. And that's something which I didn't have. I figured it probably could be 2 or 3 years. So I ended up conceding and agreed to do the surgery. So I did. So I had the aortic valve replaced. I couldn't have it done through the taffy method. So they had to, put the zipper in front of my chest and open it out to to do the replacement valve. Geez. And I said, why can't you do the Teffy, you know, the one where they can sort of go in and then it's a no big deal. But apparently the problem was that they wouldn't do it because apparently I was too healthy. They only do that for people who, you know, they reckon not going to survive the open heart surgery.
Yeah.
So I did that. And then I started getting seriously interested in looking into issues of calcification. And then as part of my research, I came across Ivor's podcast. And because he'd done a lot of work in this particular area with a number of other cardiologists and various specialists throughout the world. And so I made contact with him. And anyway, we had a few chats. And so I decided to fly over in, to Ireland and meet him. And that's what it did. So I went over there and spent some time over there, and then we got on, really well. And of course, it was a real sort of source of good knowledge in this particular area, an area which, I had overlooked, with regarding calcification. And then, not so long after, then Ivor came over to New Zealand, to meet us over here, and then have a look at the factory and get an understanding of what Extend Life was all about. And then at that point, then we decided, well, hey, look, let's do some things together, because, as I said, I find if I try and read technical papers and so on, I'll just go to sleep. I find them boring. The idea was then that any ideas which I came up with, throw them over to, Ivor, and he could do a real sort of, critical analysis of it and look at it from a scientific point of view, look at the appropriate papers and come back and say, hey, well, look, that looks really good. And like
every good CEO knows how to be a little bit of a visionary and how to delegate properly and not be in the weeds too much. But Ivor, I'm curious, what did you actually do with Warren for his heart stuff? Because you obviously know a ton about this kind of stuff.
Yeah, well, calcification does catch people out. There's no question about it. I have people who have actually quite good bloods, and they have scores up at 800-900 in their 50s.
And by the way, are you talking about the calcium scan score, or that new clearly AI diagnostic PLAT score? Is it pretty much like one of the same? Are you referring to both?
Essentially, so the original kind of commoner garden calcium scan is the basic scan. It used to be an EBT CT machine, and now it's a cyclical. But either way, the clearly is just using AI and advanced imaging to enhance really the images primarily. So you get a lot more kind of value from the images. You can see where you've got fatty plaque, soft plaque versus hardened, very established plaque that has calcified fully. So clearly it's a great system. Good pal of mine, Dr. Arthur Agatston in Miami, he loves it, and we've talked about that. But calcification is just a natural process. It's based on essentially vascular inflammation, endothelial inflammation. And to be honest, what most likely happens is there's micro tears, there's clots. The clots are abraded, then you get endothelial progenitor cells come along and they regrow the endothelial layer on the inside of the artery, and you trap some clot and blood cells inside. And when that cycle keeps happening, you eventually build up a kind of cholesterol-filled kind of pustule. And of course, the calcification is simply the body's natural way of stabilizing that so it won't actually burst. So the calcification is the canary in the coal mine. It shows that you had in the past, maybe still going on, endothelial dysfunction of some form. And the valve is a similar thing. Aortic calcification and calcification on the flaps of the valve, it's a similar problem with local tissue damage. And the problem is that you've got to hit it with everything if you have a high score. If you've done everything right, or most everything right, like Warren had, you've got to dig deep and look, okay, what did I do wrong?
And by the way, when you say everything, you mean like statins and PCSK9 inhibitors and the whole shebang?
If I just comment on that part of his point of interest, is it was rather funny, because after I'd had that surgery, the doctor, the cardiologist, and the surgeon all insisted I went on a statin and an aspirin. And I refused. And we had some quite debates on this. And I said to the when they were, in fact, there was, I saw an email from the cardiologist to the doctor saying, look, you're going to have to give up trying to get Warren onto a statin. There's no way he'll ever go on one. Because what I said to them, I said, look, the problem with you guys, I said, you haven't done your research. I said, yeah, you're basing your analysis for those statins on what you're told by the pharmaceutical companies. I said, I have done my research on that stuff, and there's no bloody way you're ever going to get me on a statin. I'm not on any medication at all. I refuse to. There's a use for medication, I think, temporarily after some sort of procedure if necessary, but I was only on it for about 5 weeks. Because after the and then straight after 5 weeks later, I went over to Malaysia because I had my boat over there, and then I fell off the bloody boat, and it sailed away, and I was left floating in the ocean because there was nobody on the boat. And I was rather lucky, as I tested it out, sort of quite quickly, but I refuse to go on any sort of medication at all, and I'm not, never have been, and never will.
That's interesting. You know, I've seen decent data for like a low-dose statin combo or a statin genetic non-responder, PCSK9 maybe combined with CoQ10 or something like that. But it sounds like you had a different approach, Ivor.
Yeah, I mean, statins is tricky. Until COVID came along, statin discussions were controversial, but COVID made it go up a level. But the statins, I simply say to people, I've gone through myriad trials. I've looked at all the data. Unlike a statin denier, I acknowledge benefits. That's what's in the peer-reviewed, published, randomized control trials. There are benefits. My challenge with statins is this. What's the life extension for the average person pertaining to statins? So they reduce kind of soft events, you could say subjective events, revascularizations. How long do they put off your date of death on average? And a paper in the British Medical Journal in 2016 never retracted, even though a lot of people were angry at it. They could never retract it because it was true. And they said from their research of many statin trials, the life extension is approximately 4 days over a 5-year period.
Did they actually look, by the way, like did they break that out into people who had like really high plaque or high calcium scan scores and how they responded to a statin, or was it just like one general lump of the population with pre-existing heart disease or something like that?
A great question, Ben. No, they did not. They kept it very simple because they were just trying to answer a high-level question for the average man or woman in the street who won't have extra detail. There is another study that's quite striking that shows the statins have a very significant improvement in events, not so much mortality, if your score is high in calcium. If you have a lower zero score, the statin shows no benefit versus placebo. So I think that's to your point. So I always say if you have a high score with demonstrated evidence of a vascular pathology, an issue, high calcium score, then the benefit is maximized.
Yeah. And by the way, you should note, by the way, it's not very much, though, because I saw that study that classified certain people in the population as having high plaque score, high calcium scan score, positively responding to a statin. They were on like 5 mg of, I think it's rosuvastatin and 10 of ezetimibe, which is a pretty low dose. And then in the people, and you're probably aware of this, Ivor, who are like genetic non-responders to a statin, it's like, I think once or twice a month of an injection of a PCSK9 inhibitor. My concern about that latter approach is you're just like down-regulating a bunch of LDL receptors. And I think that based on the concept of the human design being pretty intricate and most things being in there for a reason, that it, you know, I wonder how much of a trade-off there is between total downregulation of LDL receptors and reversal of plaque. You know, that's something I just don't know.
Yeah. And I would say from extensive looking into that, the trade-offs for me just don't make any sense. So there was another group that apparently might benefit. People with a poor triglyceride over HDL ratio in the 4S mega statin study back 30 years ago, a sub-analysis showed if your HDL to triglyceride ratio was good, i.e. you're insulin sensitive, there was no statin benefit. Even in that, the best of all statin trials with the best outcomes of any statin trial, if your trig over HDL was good, you saw no benefit. So for me, it all comes down to the root cause and the fix is primarily insulin resistance, or it could be omega-3 index or omega-3 6 ratio is bad, or it could be low vitamin D, low magnesium. There's a whole long list of things where you are addressing the cause of the inflammatory progressive process. And then there's statins that play around with the deck chairs on the Titanic, I kind of feel, and they bring in negatives that you don't know to what extent you'll be physiologically negatively affected. And I think Dr. Tan spoke beautifully on that as well, because the statin cuts off the whole I-95 of your cholesterol production system, also produce your hormones, also peptides for muscle health, and also your GG pathway, and GG is crucial for health. So like, it's just, it makes no sense.
Hey, so with a guy like Warren, is that what you did? Like vitamin D, magnesium, omega-3 fatty acid, and addressing glucose balance or insulin resistance?
Yeah, I think, and again, Warren, if I could speak for you. So I think in the past, Warren, you were not aware of low carb or insulin per se. So you may have been, I think we talked about what you used to eat and the drinks you used to drink. You wouldn't have been quite as aware as you should have of potential insulin glucose system problems. So fixing all of those was a no-brainer. But also you introduced a whole bunch of new things like natokinase and K2, you became more aware of. And yeah, we talked around a lot of those most likely big hitters. And magnesium is huge because the only RCT I've seen in humans that demonstrated a dramatic reduction in calcification. Because most of the supplements, you can't get RCTs because of the pharma problem and the cost. But magnesium in humans showed a fairly major impact over 2 years. So I always say, whatever multivitamins you're on, it's important to get this wide array because you never know what you might need.
Yeah. What do you guys do about magnesium in the Extend Life formula, by the way? Are you using a specific form of magnesium or the type of magnesium that Ivor is referring to when it comes to heart health?
Yeah, well, what we do is we have a separate product specifically just as magnesium, and we use and ironically enough, it comes from Ireland. It's a magnesium which is derived out of seawater.
So is it like a specific form? Because a lot of times magnesium is chelated to something like citrate or glycinate or taurine or something like that. Like, is it a specific form?
It's just purely what is magnesium. It's a long time since I looked at it. I just use it every day. It's out of Ireland and it's derived from seawater. And I figured that that was one of the best to use because it has a whole lot of other trace minerals and so forth with it as well. Because, as you know, I remember when I was commercial fishing, I used to have a tablespoonful of seawater a day when I was out in the blue oceanic water. You know, you drink a little bit of seawater each day because it's got all these other various trace elements and so forth in it. And the particular magnesium we're using does have all those other trace elements in it. And I also get a bit of extra magnesium because I've got to have a hot tub, which when we're using that, I just get a whole bunch of the Epsom salts. And then throw that into the tub.
I was pretty pleased to find out with this Marazco Forge ice bat that I have that I can actually put Epsom salts and magnesium salts in that without gumming up the filter. So now I get my cold soak and my magnesium all delivered in one fell swoop. And by the way, Ivor, you actually didn't get a chance to reply to what Warren was asking about folic acid versus folate. Do you want to speak to that real quick?
Yeah, it's been a while, actually. I remember talking to Dr. Berg, who's a good friend of mine, on this topic way back, and I'd looked into it. From memory, the folate is more the natural source you would get from foods. The folic acid is the kind of synthetic or man-made, which should convert in the liver into folate ultimately. But there were a few drawbacks. The folic acid, there can be a problem with high folic acid in the blood. If you have the MTFHR kind of gene mutation, you may not convert as well. So high folic acid again could result, and that could promote issues. You mentioned homocysteine, yeah, but also possibly carcinogenesis at a mild level, though that's not proven. So folate, always you steer towards A, what comes naturally and reproducing that in a supplement, and B, what the evidence seems to indicate is safer or better or less likely to go too high. So the roads point to folate.
Yeah, it's usually listed as like folate or MTHF on the label. And I totally agree with you. I avoid anything with folic acid. Even if you look at a lot of these energy drinks, they actually have a lot of folic acid in them. So that's something else to be careful of when you see many of these popular energy drinks. I think probably one, and I'm hoping I'll stick my foot in my mouth here and throw them under the bus when they don't deserve it, but I think Celsius has a high amount of folic acid in it. So you're drinking, you're getting energy, and you're also getting homocysteine and inflammation simultaneously. Hey, Warren, you were talking about your hot tub and how you do soaks. I didn't get a chance to kind of like hear the full spiel in that first question that I asked you. You know, you got into the Extend Life and the interesting history of the company. But for you personally, I mean, being 76 years old, traveling 250,000 miles a year, running this company, what do you actually do to take care of yourself these days, besides a multivitamin?
Well, as I say, I take a whole range of different ones, but the key one is in fact the total balance. But also, I am sort of conscious of, you know, what I eat, and there's been some influence from Ivor in that regard. And what I also do is that I only have two meals a day. I don't eat until generally around about midday, and then I try and have an evening meal at the around 6 o'clock. So, and I don't eat between meals. So that's, I think, one thing which is important. Do have a hot tub from time to time when I'm actually in Christchurch, but also just recently bought an infrared sauna as well. So try to get into that, and also obviously be active. But I've also I put a particular effort in that because I'm now sort of, I've got a little airplane, and so I'm sort of spending quite a bit of time sort of, you know, going through the flying. So I've got to keep myself good condition for that, and also building a new boat in Australia, and that's, I'll use that for doing various ocean crossings, and so once again I got the incentive to keep myself fit. But I must admit that I'm just now getting sort of back in tune as such, because when, you know, COVID hit and all our borders were closed, couldn't go anywhere, and of course I had the boat getting built in Australia, couldn't get there either because the borders were closed. And then when they did open it, you had to be vaccinated, and I refused to get jabbed, so couldn't go over there as well. So consequently, I spent about 2.5 years virtually stuck in front of the computer, and it's only in the last year that now started to get back, you know, to where I was. Yeah.
Well, are you lifting weights? I think lifting weights, especially for older men and women, is probably, if you could choose one thing, the most effective. Either lifting weights or manual labor.
I think that that's actually really critical. I've got a gym here in here, and I've got another one up at our other beach house. But the I've always been into weights, since I was 16, and that's something which I think is crucial. And I got a bit slack on it during the COVID period, but now I'm back into it again. As a matter of fact, that I've just started on the same regime which Ivor put me onto from a, in fact, his name was Ben too, wasn't Dr. Ben?
Dr. Ben Bokikio. He's a good friend of mine in San Diego.
What is it? What's his protocol?
Essentially, it's something which, whereas I used to be right into the gym and so on, but, I find it a little bit, boring to sort of keep it up. But his whole philosophy is based on just essentially two or three workouts a week of 15 minutes, but of very heavy weights going to the point of failure now.
Oh, yeah. So, see, single set failure to exhaustion. I do that. That's what most of my older clients do. I started doing when I was about 40, super slow training, one single set deadlift, yeah, squat, pull down overhead press, row, and yeah, a horizontal press. It takes me about 2 minutes per set. I completely gas, yeah, at the end of each exercise. And yeah, it's a great program. It takes like 20 minutes, two or three times a week.
Yeah, that's, yeah, it. That's what I'm now onto. And because it's so easy if you're having a 45-minute workout, it's easy enough to put it off to the next day. Whereas, yeah, with the 15 minutes, yeah, it can be, yeah, you can stick to it.
Yeah, and don't get me wrong, I still do a lot of walking and a lot of tennis, and I'm still pretty physically active. Is that pretty much a good summary, Ivor, of Ben's program?
Yeah, pretty much. Dr. Ben, he 52 years he's been at this. He set up some of the first gyms in New York. I think he fibbed to the banks and managed to get money for houses he didn't buy. So he has a long history, but he has a couple of PhDs. He's mad into fat burning, resistance training, and, you know, the type 1 and type 2 muscle fibers and all the science. So he's a huge enthusiast. But that's what he's really delivered to people, the 15 minutes a few times a week, and just, yeah, convincing them, truthfully, that that's going to give more benefits than a lot of time spending doing other aerobic stuff. You know, yeah, like you said, Ben, that's where the magic is.
It's fantastic. I mean, you get the slow twitch muscle fiber exhaustion and the fast twitch muscle fiber exhaustion. And if you do some explosive, kind of like bouncy, powerful reps to exhaust yourself at the end of the set, you even kind of poop out the type 2B fibers. And even though I don't think it's like functional, I wouldn't have an athlete or a CrossFitter doing a workout like that. If you're looking for a functional athletic program, you still got to do, you know, kettlebell swings and deadlifts and cleans and overhead presses and snatches and the like. You know, I think it's a great program for training for life. And I mean, speaking of life, we, you know, for this formula, we didn't even get to like the stem cell mobilization compounds that you have in there, like this really rare form of sea buckthorn and the pau d'arco. My wife has the hormone balancing women's formula. You have these testosterone type of compounds added to the men's formula. My kids have the multivitamin formula. I mean, if you're listening and you go to the website, you can look at the ingredient label on this stuff. But I mean, as you know, I'm pretty picky when it comes to formulations. And when I had dinner with Vanessa and Simon from Extend Life at my house, we went on a long walk and talked about the history of the company and about Warren. And then I was able to dig into Warren a bit more. And then I've respected Ivor for some time and his knowledge of chemistry and heart health. And once I found out that he was advising on this formula, you know, it really is one that, even though I've never really recommended a done for you, kind of like, I know you don't like this word, Warren, but like a shotgun approach like this, I think I'm very impressed with this one. And I know we've got it's not the least expensive formula out there. We have discount codes. We have special offers for you guys. So I'll put all that at bengreenfieldlife.com/extend. That's XTEND, where you can also leave your questions and your comments and your feedback for Warren and Ivor. Again, we didn't even get to like, you know, 10% of the ingredients in this stuff, but you got to look at the label and dig into some of the information on the website, because I'm very impressed. Warren and Ivor, anything you guys want to add in the last couple of minutes here?
I think probably one thing I would add is that my wife is 1 year younger than me. She's 75. And once again, she doesn't have any of the issues that most people of this age has. She went through, because she started on the Total Balance almost 25 years ago, and when she went through menopause, didn't have any of the issues with that, none of the hot flushes and so on, and it was just a non-event, and doesn't have any, neither of us have any sort of arthritic type things. We don't have any stiff joints and so forth, and so it works for women as well as men.
Amazing. Amazing.
And yeah, I might just add, yeah, whatever about yourself and Lowe's, you know, you have customers that have been with you 25 years.
Good point. I should mention that, because the thing which is interesting, particularly with Total Balance, I remember, must have been about 12 years ago, we had a client in one of our customers. I think he was in New York, and I remember his name was Carl, and he was a good customer, and then he stopped buying. And then he made contact with me and he says, look, he says, I've it's been good, but he says, I don't feel I'm getting any sort of benefit, you know, from the total balance now. So that's why I've stopped. 6 months later, he came back to us and resumed because he said, I didn't realize just how much benefit I was getting because it got to a particular level that his health was so good, you know, he wasn't getting any colds or flus and whatever, and he thought, well, he doesn't need it anymore. So he discontinued it, and then 6 months later, he resumed, and that has happened with so many of our customers. Wow. Because what we've found with this is that people, you know, tend to be loyal for a long time, but it's not an instant fix. It is addressing all the systems, and it takes time and takes consistency. So I thought I could mention that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, you guys are going to save me a little bit of packing too when I take off tomorrow morning for a trip because I'm going to have to put like half as many bottles in my bag now. I got this Men's Balance and there's still a few other things I'm taking, you know, like I use a little bit of higher dose NAD and I like my Keon aminos and, you know, a few of the choice products from Keon. But yeah, it's kind of nice. It's going to be a little bit of a space saver. So I'm about to launch into a pretty serious bout of travel experimentation with the formula. You guys, we're actually out of time. We're out of time. I'm going to send people to bengreenfieldlife.com/extend to learn more. And I want to thank you guys for coming on the show and being so gracious for sharing this knowledge with us and keep up the great work with these formulas.
It's been enjoyable, Ben. Yeah, and I'm sure like, you know, I would agree with that. It was a lot of fun. Thank you.
Yep. Great stuff, Ben. Always delighted to chat.
More than ever these days, people like you and me need a fresh, entertaining, well-informed, and often outside-the-box approach to discovering the health and happiness and hope that we all crave. So I hope I've been able to do that for you on this episode today. And if you liked it, or if you love what I'm up to, then please leave me a review on your preferred podcast listening channel, wherever that might be. And just find the Ben Greenfield Life episode. Say something nice. Thanks so much. It means a lot.
In compliance with the FTC guidelines, please assume the following about links and posts on this site. Most of the links going to products are often affiliate links, of which I receive a small commission from sales of certain items, but the price is the same for you, and sometimes I even get to share a unique and somewhat significant discount with you. In some cases, I might also be an investor in a company I mention. I'm the founder, for example, of Keon LLC, the makers of Keon-branded supplements and products, which I talk about quite a bit. Regardless of the relationship, if I post or talk about an affiliate link to a product, it is indeed something I personally use, support, and with full authenticity and transparency, recommend in good conscience. I personally vet each and every product that I talk about. My first priority is providing valuable information and resources to you that help you positively optimize your mind, body, and spirit. And I'll only ever link to products or resources, affiliate or otherwise, that fit within this purpose. So there's your fancy legal disclaimer.